been on my heart to share with myself, with you as well here today, about the amazing ways of God and how intricately he is involved in our lives. Sometimes we feel we're just out there and maybe he's observing us and so forth, but it's meant a lot to me lately that Jesus said the very number of the hairs on your head are numbered. And what he's trying to get across to us is how intimately and that God is involved in our lives as his children. And it's important that we understand that and that his ways are so far above our ways. And that sometimes God takes us through things that require waiting. Sometimes we need to wait to see what he's going to do. As I was thinking about this the other day, Oswald Chambers had a devotional on that God will often take you into situations that might not make common sense to you. Doesn't seem like the most efficient way to do things, or sometimes it's to wait, and that's hard. And then sometimes it may be that you have the faith to accept that God's ways are having you wait right now, but those around you may not understand it. But it's so important to understand how he is involving himself with you and I as his children, and that he has, if we're in a situation that maybe is a little bit hard to understand, he knows what he's doing. He has a goal in mind, and we see that. And as we look at an illustration from Scripture today, and there are many illustrations, but I think one of them that could not have made much sense to the Israelite people was to be out. And then now they're locked in between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, and feeling so discouraged and frightened, and what a horrible situation. But in God's mind, he knew exactly what he was doing and accomplishing his purpose. And we need to know that in our own lives. Two things as we consider that I think are so important. And one is that very common verse in Romans 8:28. Where Paul said, and we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I would say this morning, if you love the Lord, you've come to know him personally, and you love him, and you want him to guide and direct in your life, you qualify. And what it's saying is God is working everything together for good. I remember reading a little book years ago in my young Christian life, Your God is Too Small by Paul Little. I think it's kind of interesting. His name was Little. And then he writes about God being, your God's too small. We need a bigger concept of what God's doing in our lives, and that we as an individual, we're not only known when that God knew that we would come to him. He knew before he made the world we'd come to him. And then he destined us to be like his son, and ultimately not only to use us here, but to have us live in his presence in glory. Know that God is working. You can tell God it doesn't make sense, but I'm trusting you. You're my God. I've committed my life to you, and I choose to walk with you. The second is that the ways of God and the way he works goes beyond our understanding. And as our brother read this morning in Isaiah 55, God makes it so plain. If you want to know how different my ways are than your ways, it's as different as high as heaven is with where you're dwelling right now. But of course, he has given us his word to learn more about his ways, to more know more about his thoughts. And he may lead us in some ways we don't understand. It'll never be against his scripture and his ways. But I just want us to ponder and think about And it may, and I mentioned that, but one of the hard things may be that what God's having you go through, people around you may not understand. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand. We need to accept by faith what God is doing. So I want to, and if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at Exodus 14. And this is, to me, it's just one of many illustrations that his ways go beyond our thinking, but God's got something in mind. And we see the way he was working here in this chapter of Exodus 14. The children of Israel, they're out. You know that they came out with God bringing mighty judgments called the plagues on the gods of Egypt. And Moses keeps going before Pharaoh, let my people go, they need to go. And it gets bad and he's thinking about it, but Pharaoh keeps saying, no, we're not going to let him go. But then ultimately the unseen death angel passed through the land, and those that were not under the blood of the Lamb in their dwelling places, the firstborn died. And that was enough for them, get out. They went out with the people giving them much riches to take with them. There's an interesting verse in 13:17 that God did not take them in the way of the Philistines, though that was near. For he knew that war would arise and they wouldn't handle it. They'd either return or whatever. And it's just a reminder to me, we have a tendency to want to do the most efficient way, the short route way, the best way, whatever we think's best. But even there, we see that God, in his foreknowledge and knowing his people, knowing what would happen, didn't take them the short route. Took them the long route, and they're in the wilderness, and they're down by the Red Sea. So it's interesting to me that God has a plan here in mind in the first verses of chapter 14 to take care of the danger that Egypt was to those people, even though they were out. And so he did alert Moses to what he's doing. He doesn't always do that, but as a leader, he was sharing with him, and I would just read verse 3 and 4. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Let me say something about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. The same brightness of the sun and the heat of the sun can either melt things or it can harden things. And it depends on the response of the person. God showing his power throughout the plagues, throughout all of that time, could have softened his heart if he'd have responded to God. But he chose to refuse. I'm not having anything to do with it. And his heart got harder. And so when we read that God hardened the heart, he knew how Pharaoh would respond, but the power of God that he continued to see only hardened his heart more. And we need to be careful that the hard things come into our life, that they will soften us and they will melt us and not harden us. They will be entangled. I know that Pharaoh is going to say, what have we done? They've served us. They're our slaves. They're the ones that get the work done here. So in verse 7, it says, he took with him, this is Pharaoh now, 600 chosen chariots, all of the chariots of Egypt. I notice the all. He's taken all the chariots of Egypt and captains, every one of them. And so here they come, children of Israel, are kind of up against the west side of the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptian army against them. And obviously it struck terror into their hearts. It's so important. There's such an important thing to be reminded here of when you're God's people and you're yielded to him, you trust him. Paul said in, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You can look at a situation and say, this is dire. But if you're in God's hands and in his way, you need to be trusting him. Well, here was the response of the children of Israel. In verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, obviously. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not what the word we did tell you in Egypt? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And I think you can understand, but these believers had a lot of unbelief, not only here, but at Kadesh Barnea when they were supposed to go in, and they saw how the cities and the giants and all that, and they said, we can't do it. And it's dangerous for believers not to believe. But Moses stilled them, and I wanted you to notice this. And Moses is directing them now. Here's the Egyptian army behind him, the Red Sea in front of them. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. And then he gives them this word, for the Egyptians whom you see have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And it's interesting in the King James, it says, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. There are times in God's direction in our lives that it's be still and wait. Just wait in this very difficult time. I have a verse here. I wanted to see if I can find it for sure here. Isaiah, maybe I'm not going to find it now, but Isaiah has some interesting words about waiting, and that your strength is to stand still, but they rose and fled. They were trying to get rid of, they were trying to be free from an enemy, and God said, your strength is to stand still. But they would not. Sometimes God just has you wait upon me and wait to see what I'm going to do. So then verse 15 said, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward. And we don't know what Moses is praying. God already told him that I'm going to undertake for you today. You're going to have victory over the Egyptians. There's a verse I've read in, it's in the Apocrypha, it's not the canon scripture, where Moses is talking to the Lord, you could do it, you could take us in the air, you could do this. There's something going on that God told Moses here, don't cry to me anymore, tell the children of Israel that they should go forward and lift up thy rod and stretch it out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And that's pretty amazing. And it says that God sent that wind after the sea was divided so that they could walk across it on dry ground. If you read the record here, what happened, that the angel of the Lord that was there, that gave light to, already God had sent his angel to give them light by day and light by night, and that he would know that the Lord's presence was always there with him. It says the angel of the Lord went between the Egyptian army and Israel, gave darkness to the Egyptians, gave light to Israel. God's ways are amazing and beyond our understanding. They walk through on dry ground. Wall of water, it says, if you read the record, on both sides. Some people tried to say the Red Sea wasn't that deep, but obviously it was. They walk through. And then the Egyptian army says, let's use this way of going after them. And that's what God knew exactly what they were going to do. And if you read the record, I think it's down in verse 25, and I guess the lesson is, if you are not serving God, if you are against God, don't try to walk in God's provision that he made for his children. It's dangerous to you. They go into the Red Sea. Verse 25 says that he took off their chariot wheels, so they drove them heavily. And I can picture that. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon every chariot, upon their horsemen. They were right in the middle of God's special provision for his children that was so dangerous to them. And if you read on further, verse 28 says, the waters returned, covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. God knows how to handle our dangers. And I've just got to know that the Lord knew that Egypt would always be a problem to them. It would always be a danger to them to try to bring them back to serve them like they had. And the way that they had treated early on under Joseph, Pharaoh was kind to those people, but it became that they were cruel taskmasters over them. And so the verse that stands out to me, verse 30, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. I just have to think, they probably took time and said, that's the guy that beat me all the time. That's the guy that was so cruel to me all the time. The ways of God are so much higher than our ways. God knew what he was doing. There's a verse in Joshua, after they got into the land, in Joshua 5:9, they came across the Jordan after all this 40 years, and the men were circumcised because they hadn't been through the time in the wilderness. And the word says that God rolled the reproach of Egypt off of them. God took care of their need because he's always looking ahead for us. And sometimes that'll cause us to walk through things that we may not understand. We may not understand the timing or the things he's doing, but God is, in his ways, is working for your benefit, for my benefit, for his glory, because he is working everything together for good. I just, as we think about his ways, and his ways have not stopped, his love for his children have not stopped, his watch care over the way ahead for us on this side of glory has not stopped. And before we come to the Lord's table, I just remind you of Paul's words in Romans 8 and 31b and 32, and you know these verses, but may they do something in our hearts. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I just want us to stop and ponder the truth of that. God didn't spare the ultimate price for us. We can trust him. And I just guess I'd say if we're walking through times that there's things in our lives don't make sense right now, no, his ways are not our ways. He knows what he's doing, and it's so important that we yield ourselves to him in our walk ahead. As we just sing a verse before the Lord's Supper, I want us to sing a verse out of Have Thine Own Way, Lord. May we be there, understanding and knowing. We may not know what he's doing, but he's at work, and we need to yield to him. Thank you, Father, for giving us such a picture of taking care of the danger to your children Israel in such a dramatic way that they were able to see, God, your work. But leading up to it, Moses said, just wait for right time here. God will intervene. May you give grace when situations in brothers and sisters' lives here that require waiting. Sometimes that's really hard for us. Thank you that you know what you're doing. And Father, as we ponder our Lord Jesus and what he did for us and you're giving him as a gift for us, help us to know if you did that, there's nothing that you're not going to supply as we need, as you see fit. And so guide as we prepare for the Lord's table, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? We'll sing a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Jesus, we met in your name, and by your promise, we know your presence here. And we know the truth of 1 Corinthians 13, that we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we're known. We look forward to the day in your presence, Lord Jesus, we can appropriately understand and praise you for the cost. But as much as we know now, thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. And we just give you the praise and help us as we go from here to bring you to those that desperately need you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.